There is more. Come on, there is more. Come on, there's more. There's not just more faith. There's more in our faith. Come on, there's more to our faith than we know. There's more that we can access by our faith. We can't get stuck in a rut with our faith. I just know faith so that I can get a blessing. I just know faith so that I can get healed. Our faith is so much bigger than that. God is so much bigger. He wants to be active in every part of our life. We can use our faith for anything. We can use our faith in areas that we've not yet even thought of. There's more in the fire. There's not just more fire. There is more fire, praise God. But there's more in the fire. Come on, when you get consecrated, when you get sold out to God, come on, when you get lit up on the inside, there's things that are going to open up for us. There is more for us. But sometimes in the more, it does take an attitude adjustment. It takes a little shifting. You know, when we first get saved, it's like, wow, because we come out of darkness. We come out of a bad place, and just everything is wonderful, and it's full of light and full of love and peace and joy and everything. But then we walk through life. Come on. We go through situations, circumstances. Things happen. Things try to mess with us. And sometimes we just have to realize this whole faith life is about just making sure that when we're in the adjustment business, that we can keep ourselves adjusted, like she was talking about last night, you know, having to adjust her mental thoughts to agree with the word, having to adjust our emotions. God, there are God emotions. And a joy is an emotion. And we're supposed to have it and use it. But our emotions are supposed to be subject to the word, subject to the Spirit of God. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about something that the Lord has just for you. Amen. I've never preached this before. Oh, it's something that the Lord's been working, and I knew all along it was for this meeting right here. Because there is more, and we want to get all of it. We don't want to get just more in one category, more in one area, because, you know, God knows best. Amen. God knows really what we need. He might even know like what adjustments we need to make so that we can stand in this place of fullness. And so there is more for us. And first of all, we just need to remind ourselves quite often that we're Christians. Right. Wow. If we could just live off the revelation, yes, that every day when we wake up, we are a Christian. Amen. That means that we are in Christ. We are of Christ. We are Christ like. It means we're the family of God. Amen. Come on, not your mother and daddy.
Come on. Amen.
We are the family of God. We're sons of God.
That's right.
We're sons of God.
Amen.
We're heirs of God. Amen. We're joint heirs with Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. We are the household of God. This scripture here, I love it. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 19 says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. Jesus, of course, being the cornerstone, but in whom the whole building, all of us together, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Amen. We are the household of God.
Amen.
That is significant. It's important. I want you to know that there's more in the household of God.
Amen.
There's more for us as God's family. There's more for us in this place that we have of dwelling in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 9 says that you are God's building. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5 says that you are being a living stone or being built up a spiritual house. Now listen, in the Old Testament, the house of the Lord, also called the temple, referred to a physical building, but it was special because God's presence dwelt there. And it was special because God's people, God did have a people in the Old Testament. And they would come into the house of God as the people of God, as the house of God, to worship God. And so they gathered together to worship God. But today, the house of God is not a temple or a building or a place made with human hands. Amen. It's the building of God. By God's hand, we are built together as a household. We are called together as the house of the Lord. This is very important to God. It's very precious to God that each of us being a house, having a spiritual house, comes together as the household of the Lord, fit together as the building of God, where now God dwells in each of us and God dwells among us corporately. In the New Testament, Jesus, what Jesus did with his own blood, giving his own life, was what it required for God to call us together as the house of the Lord, as the household of God, and it's very special to God. God's eye, his affection, his attention is on his household. God loves you. He loves me. He loves us together corporately. He loves the body of Christ. Now listen, sometimes we refer to the house of the Lord as where the saints get together or the people of God meet together. That's okay. It's okay that we call it that, as long as we know that in that regard, we're referring to it as a natural building. But it's still special because it's where God's people gather together. I come with the Spirit of the Lord. Reverend Melissa comes with the Spirit of the Lord. Denise comes. Elsa comes. And now there's like a multiplication that begins to happen as we gather together. And this is very important to our spiritual life that we understand the significance and the value of the household of God. I want to tell you there's more for you, but much of it is in the household of God. Having a revelation of the household of God, your place and everybody else's place. That we are each important, but we are important together. That the body of Christ, the house of God, is not going to be the same. It's not going to be as powerful. It's not going to be functioning right if you're not set in your place. If we don't know our place, value our place, but value everybody else. That's why the Bible tells us we're to esteem one another. Come on, when I see you, I'm not supposed to see just Tanisha, even though natural Tanisha is wonderful. Natural Tanisha is hopefully living out of the spiritual house that's in her, God in her. But when I look at her, I see Christ in her. I don't see you as a man. I see the gift of God in you. And that helps us adjust. Well, they're not perfect. Did you see what they did to me? Did you see how they treated me? Hey, you're talking against the body of Jesus. We are the body, the physical body of Jesus. Amen. There's more for us in the household, but we have to love the house of God. We have to love the assembling together. We have to love the body of Christ. We need to learn to honor the house of God. Let me pause and say something here. This is important. This will help you. I hear it said a lot during COVID when people were staying home. I'm not talking about people that had a witness and needed to stay home. I'm talking about people who removed themselves from the body for whatever reason. I hear this said a lot. I'm gonna read it because I want to say it exactly like they say it. It's not about going to church. It's about being the church. It's not about going to church. It's about being the church. I've heard that. You know, I've heard it for years. But one time when I heard it, the Lord actually spoke to me. And the Lord spoke to me. It was as clear to me as if he was standing next to me in an audible voice. And this is what he said. He said, part of being the church is having church, doing church, and going to church together. It is about being the church. But we're not going to be the church if we're not in church together. Wherever you're called, this is not just about Houston Faith Church. Wherever you're called in the assembly, we are called together as the household of the Lord. And there are things for us in the household of the Lord. There are things for us individually. Even our individual life is only going to be set in the proper place to receive the fullness as we're in the household properly. There are things for us corporately. I told y'all at the beginning of the year, the Lord said this to me, and I don't believe it's just for Houston Faith Church, but I do have to preach it here because I know the Lord said it. He said this year, his eye is on the assembly. And there's going to be some more in the assembly. There's going to be some manifestations in the assembly. There's going to be some demonstrations in the assembly. There's things for us in the assembly. Things our eyes have not yet seen. Things our ears have not yet heard. In the assembly. And if you're missing out on the assembly for whatever reason, if you have disqualified, if you have qualified yourself to think that it's okay to be outside the assembly, I'm just going to tell you, you're going to miss out. If you think it's okay to not go to church for whatever reason and just get it online, you're gonna miss out. You do need a pastor. And you need a, not a TV online, don't know who you are, anything about your life pastor. You need a pastor who can look you in the eye, who's gonna be in the prayer closet contending for your spiritual life. Who knows when you call them to ask about somebody, they can say yes or no. Oh, did you call to ask?
Come on.
If you don't have a pastor, you're going to be weary and scattered. That's not what I said. I'm talking right now as the prophet, okay? That's what the Bible says. That those without a pastor are weary and scattered. We have to be in the house of the Lord. The eye is on the assembly. And in the assembly, it's not just, there are things I believe are going to happen in the assembly. Yes. Do you remember in the Old Testament? When they didn't even have what we have, they didn't have the measure of God that we have. They didn't have the fullness of Christ. They didn't have everybody being a spiritual house and coming together with the supply, being fit together. They didn't have that. But they would get in the house together and the glory of the Lord would come. And it would be in such a measure that they couldn't even stand. I believe that that's still possible. I believe that the Lord still wants to do that. There's times when a message doesn't need to be preached. There's time when singing doesn't. Just the presence, the glory of God coming in. As a wave or as a cloud or amen. But God's gonna do that as we're together in the assembly, knowing our place, valuing the house of God. In the Old Testament we saw a lot of the glory of God, right? We saw things that the Lord would speak at times and it would be so over his awesomeness. Just the awesomeness of God would be so overwhelming that they would like tremble and just like, Lord God, we can't even anymore. They would not be able to stand under just the weightiness. The Lord's been talking to me this year about the Shekinah glory. I'm talking about the weightiness, a measure of his glory. They saw all kinds of things in the Old Testament. They saw miracles. They saw a waters part. They saw heavenly provision. I mean, food rained down out of heaven. I mean, a water came out of a rock. They saw tremendous victories. They saw giants that were slain. Come on. They saw enemies that were defeated. Come on. They saw people healed. They saw dead bodies raised. They saw in the house of the Lord, in the household of God, they saw the glory of God. But I want to tell you today, in this household, in the place that we're living in, with the measure of this kingdom of God that we have access to, I say it's greater glory. Come on, it's a grander glory. Actually, Haggai chapter 2, verse 9 says that the glory of the latter temple will be what? Will be greater than the fourth. There's more for us. There, everything that we saw in the Old Testament ought to be multiplied in measure upon measure upon measure for us. There's more glory for us. In the Old Testament, there are some scriptures that denoted the attitude of God's people toward the house of the Lord. And again, listen, they were just talking about a temple. Yes, a temple where God was. But God that they really couldn't experience much. Some of they talked about some of the results of and some of the benefits of being in the house of the Lord. As New Testament believers, as the household of God, living in this house of the Lord, I believe that these scriptures ought to ring even truer in our hearts. So I'm going to read some of them to you this morning. We need to measure ourselves. We need to find out where do we need an adjustment. We need to recognize when we wake up every morning, are we like, is our first thought, I'm the household of God. Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, we do come into the house to gather together to worship. But listen, every morning when we get up, we go into the house of the Lord. We know at that moment, I have woken up now. I am in the house of the Lord. I'm glad I'm in the house of the Lord. Oh, it's glad to have a house. Listen, it's glad to have a roof over your head. Come on, when you have a roof over your head, there's some safety. Come on, there's some security. We can wake up every morning just glad to be in the house of the Lord, glad to be of the household of God. I know where I'm dwelling. There's safety for me. I'm dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty God. In Him I take refuge. Psalm 26, verse 8, this was David speaking here. Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Lord, I love your presence. Lord, I love the family of God. Lord, I love to be with the family of God. Lord, I love to go to pray. Lord, I love to go hear the word. Lord, 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 I love it. Lord, it's most important to me above everything else. I love your presence. What's in the presence of the Lord? The fullness of joy. And pleasures are at his right hand forevermore. Hallelujah. We can get up every day. Are we rejoicing? Are we being reminded that there's joy in the house of the Lord? And we're not just talking about the physical house, although there ought to be a lot of joy when we come together. Because you got joy, I got joy, she got joy. We got joy, 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 joy. But if you need some joy, you better run into the house of the Lord. You better remember who's on the inside of you. You better tap into the Holy Ghost, who is the anointing of the oil of gladness. I love the habitation of the Lord. I love the presence of the Lord because I get joy, because I get peace, because I experience the love of God. This is how we feel about the household of God. This is how we feel about the family of God. This is how we feel when we do it with God by ourselves, when we do it with God, when we come together. I love to come to church. I love to come to church before I needed to be the preacher in church. I was in the church house all the time, and I had a big job, a responsibility job. I worked a lot of hours, but I was in the house of the Lord. And for me, my life didn't really get real settled until I got planted in the house of the Lord. And I'm talking about just doing it online, just knowing who I am in Christ. I got to know who I am in relation to you. I need you. You need me. We all need one another. I'm better with you. You're better with me. We're better together. Don't we say that all the time? I believe it. There is more for us in the household, but we got to have the proper attitude about the household of God. If you don't appreciate the household of God, God will kind of just leave you to yourself until you come out of your murmuring and you're complaining and you're seeing everything wrong. We got to adjust our thinking. We got to adjust our emotions. We don't get to get offended in the house of God. Listen, I'm going to say this, and I'm not saying this to toot my horn. I'm saying this because I believe that leaders need to lead by example. I have never been offended in the house of the Lord. I have never been mad at another Christian. I have never disassociated. I have never removed myself. I have good relationship with every pastor, every minister, everybody I've ever known. I have never departed from someone. Have I had opportunity? Many. Have people always treated me right? No. Have people said false things about me? Absolutely. Have people forsaken me, departed from me when it wasn't even God? Absolutely. But I have loved them anyway. I have chosen to stay in the center of the household of God. I've chosen to honor the house. I have chosen. I've chosen it. Love is a choice. And the truth is if you're honoring, you will never be offended. Have those that are over me been perfect and done everything proper? No. None of us are perfect. In Christ, we're perfect, but none of us in our world, we got this stinking flesh and we got this stinking thinking. It's not an excuse. But when we think of the household of God, of the house of the Lord, we have to think it is perfect because it's all in the blood of Jesus. Everything is covered in the blood of Jesus. Multitude of sins, it's covered in the blood of Jesus. We love the habitation of God. I love what I can have with God by myself, but I love when we gather together. I love when we worship together. You bring something. It's supernatural. It's spiritual. It's God. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. We got to dwell every day. We got to dwell even on the bad day. Come on. Even on the day we don't feel like it. We got to remind ourselves, no. I'm the household of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One thing I've desired, just one thing. Let's just break it down. There's a lot of things we could think about. There's a lot of things we could go after. No. Just one thing. Just one thing that I dwell in the house of the Lord. Because everything is in the house. Amen. The house is fully furnished. Everything we have need of is provided in the house. Again, I'm not talking about a physical building. Although the physical building, we come together, we do it. But it's us as the body of Christ. One thing I've desired, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. We get to see the beauty of God. The one who makes all things beautiful. The one who created the heavens and the earth. We get to behold the beauty of the Lord. And we get to inquire of Him. We get to partake of Him in this house. We get to partake of God, of the holiness of God, of the glory of God, of the beauty of Him, of the majesty of Him, of the splendor of who He is. Amen. It's in the house. Psalm 84:10, a day in your courts is better than 1,000. Yeah. It's better than 1,000. Do we get up like that every day? Hey, I'm just so happy. Just today, the fact that I'm in the house of the Lord, that I'm a member of the household, that I'm dwelling in the house of the Lord, that the kingdom of God is on the inside of me. That's better than anything else, anytime. It's better than a family reunion. It's better than being at all the things that your grandchildren do. I'm going to step back behind the podium with that one. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of righteousness. I would rather... Just the lowest of the lowest place is better than any other place that you can be. And your life needs to know that. We need to be thankful for the presence of God, for the kingdom of God, for the family of God. We need to be thankful. We need to be thankful for our place. We need to be thankful for our position. We need to not be jockeying for position with other members. Just be happy we're in the household. Let God put you where He wants. Let Him, and don't be worried that other people don't recognize. They don't recognize. Maybe there's nothing to recognize. Maybe because you think it needs to be recognized, God's saying there ain't anything to, ain't we in Texas. There ain't nothing to recognize yet. Come on. Come on. We need to be thankful for the position. We need to be honorable. We need to be faithful. And that means to one another. You are not an island on yourself, by yourself. You're not an island to yourself in Christianity. We are called to one another. to pray for one another, to believe for one another, to encourage one another, to stir one another up for good works. We need to be faithful in that. We need to not always just be about me, 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 oh, Lord, I'm going after you, Lord, I'm going. Oh, but we got a whole household here. Come on, are you bringing up others with you? Are you making room for them? We need to be faithful in what God's put in our hand. And that means faithful for years. We never get to the place where I've done that, seen that, I don't need to do that anymore. Oh, I went to the ladies' meetings for a while. I've been that, done that. I'm past that. I'm going to back up in case the fire bolt of heaven comes down. We do need to be faithful. We need to remain fervent. She said she had an insatiable desire. That's how we need to remain and stay. And when we stay that way, we'll want to be at everything. I mean, if the men are having a meeting, we're like, what's happening at the men's meeting? The Lord told me a long time ago, and I can prove it out from Scripture, that the reward of faithfulness is more. You want more, you be faithful with what you have. Hallelujah. Psalm 92, verse 13 and 14. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Shall flourish, shall flourish. We get to flourish. We get to be alive. We get to be lively. We get to be vibrant. Listen, there's no diminishing. There's no fading out. There's no getting old. There's no getting worn out in the house of God. We just keep on keeping on. Shining brighter, getting better, more alive. It don't care about your body. That stuff is all a lie. Come on, we can be, or you can be renewed like the eagle. We're just trucking on with God. Anybody that goes to church here knows that I don't allow the word tired. Take that word out of your vocabulary. We are not tired. You might be sleepy and need a nap for a moment. But we are invigorated. We are full of energy. God is in us, energizing us at all times. But this comes from the house of the Lord. They shall still bear fruit in their old age. They shall be fresh. Every morning I get to wake up fresh. Even before my makeup goes on, I'm fresh. There's life in the house. There's nourishment in the house of God. There's more for us in the house. We got to be in the house, love the house, honor the house. There's good watering in the house. There's we can get fed in the house. Most of the time when you go to eat, where do you run? To your house. You can pick up some things from other places occasionally. But the best nourishment is going to come in the house. It's in the house of the Lord, and it's actually where God's assigned you. Hey, this house that we live in never gets old, never gets out of date. The kingdom never gets out of date. The principles of God don't change according to the culture. The culture of the world is running itself ragged. This house never gets run down. It never gets dilapidated. Praise God. Listen, Jesus is actually very passionate about the house of the Lord. He is passionate for us collectively, and he is passionate about each and every one of us. Y'all remember in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, when Jesus was in the earth, and when they still had the temple, this scores for Jesus died and rose again. So they had the temple, and he went into the temple, and there was stuff in the temple that didn't belong. You remember that? Listen, we got to guard our temple. We got to guard our house. We can't let wrong stuff, we can't let wrong words, we can't let wrong attitudes, we can't let offenses. We can't let our emotions and things that are in the house. Jesus was so upset, not emotion of the flesh, because he said, I'm going to go ahead and go on home, and I'm going to come back the next day with my whip. And I'm going to drive it out. Jesus is intent on driving out of you what doesn't need to be in you. Just like that, that depression didn't belong in her. And the Holy Ghost was like, we're not, the Holy Ghost who says what Jesus said, we aren't going to allow this.
Amen.
We need to make an attitude change. We need to make a word shift here.
Amen.
Come on, we need to get ourselves in line with the house of God, with the will of God, the plan of God, the purposes of God, with the kingdom of God. The kingdom tells us who we are. The kingdom tells us how we think, how we speak, how we act. The kingdom does that. I tell you, if we get this straight, if we can get this straight, we're going to experience some of the more. I thoroughly believe that there are times that we limit God because of our attitude toward the house. I believe there are people in who had issues in their body before and had trouble getting well because they were something about an attitude, something about a disappointment, something about a discouragement. And we can sugarcoat it every kind of way and then color it up all kinds of ways that we want to. But the truth is that we, if we aren't completely happy and thinking the best and the brightest thoughts of ourselves in the household, of all of our brothers and sisters in the household, of all of the leaders in the household, of all of the kingdom of God. Wow. We can't get mad at the word. We can't say the word isn't working. Oh, the Bible says that those are stout words against God.
Amen.
Ouch. Jesus cares. He's deeply passionate. He wants your house to be right. He wants it to be filled up with God. And in the same way that Jesus wants us to take responsibility for our house, for our place, for our attitudes, for what we bring, making sure we're in the right spot, doing the right thing, saying the right thing, believing the right thing, bringing the right supply. In the same way that He wants that about ourselves, He wants us to have that for one another.
Yes.
And this is where we find true Christianity, is that it's not all about just us.
Right.
It's about us together. I do better when she does better.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
When you're better, when you're more spiritual, when you're closer to God, when I'm better.
Amen.
We don't want to be the link. We don't want to be the family member that's holding things down. We don't want to be the family member where, you know, everybody's trying to go somewhere. Everybody's trying to go on vacation. Everybody's trying to get to another destination. And there's the one in the house that's lingering behind. Can't get their stuff together. Can't get the stuff in their suitcase. Come on. We don't want to be that one. I had a bunch of stuff about the Word, but you just covered all the Word stuff in the Holy Spirit. There is stuff of the Word. There is a Word. It's alive. It's powerful. Sharp. We got to learn how to work the Word.
Yes.
If we're going to be effective in the house, there is a flow. There is an anointing. There are moves and things of the Spirit. Some of the more is in those things, but they're in the house. They're in the things of God. If we're going to love the house or the temple or the body or the building or the household the way Jesus loved it, it means being active in caring for the house at large, loving and honoring all Christians, even the ones who aren't doing it right now. And it means especially being committed in love and service in the local place where God has assigned you. We are being fit together, collectively, being together, better together, better, 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 better together. The early church certainly had that. They had a togetherness. They had a unity, one heart, one soul, one mind, one vision. Everybody gathered. Everybody participated. Everybody fellowshipped. Everybody contributed. Fellowship is important.
Yes, it is.
When we open up the cafe, if you don't want to eat, don't eat, but come. Come and be with the family.
Yes.
Don't sit at your home by yourself. Come be with the family.
Yes.
We sharpen one another. Yes. Everyone contributed. Everyone prayed. Everyone worshiped. Everyone gave. Everyone loved. Everyone served. And everyone built the house together. This is what we dream of. At Houston Faith Church, this is what we dream of. It's what we're working to build. It's whatever I believe every pastor is working to build in their place. A people that are together, loving one another, caring about each other, committed to each other. We grow and we grow up together. Did you know that? The truth is your love walk can't be perfected until you have to be around me. But that's how you have to look at it. When you're around someone and you kind of seem like it seems, you have to think, you know what? God's perfecting me. God's sharpening me. God's growing me up. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to walk in the right attitude. I'm going to have some mercy for them. I'm going to love them anyway. You know, when my husband and I got married, we made a decision. Now, we don't deal a lot with discouragement, either one of us, but we didn't know each other real well at the time. I don't recommend that for everybody, but it was God. We knew it was God. But we made a decision that we would never be discouraged on the same day.
Wow, that's good.
And in the building process, there was lots of opportunity for discouragement. And I remember one day I was having one of those days. I was just like, Lord, is it ever going to, I was feeling so discouraged. And I got up and I'm thinking I'm going to go into Pastor Chaz's office and he's going to be able to encourage me and stand me back up. And I walked in and I saw the look on his face and I thought, oh my gosh, he's discouraged. No, I can't be discouraged. I'm not. Hey. And I just instantly just changed my attitude. I just changed myself around and I'm going to encourage him.
Yeah.
We grow up together. And growing up causes us to go up. Listen, it's time for us to show up, grow up, and go up together. How about that? Can we just show up, grow up, and then we can all go up together?
Hallelujah.
We're sharpened by each other. We're encouraged. We're strengthened. We practice and experience the love of God as we love and serve one another. You are many times Jesus with skin on. And don't forget that in this, God rewards us.
Yes,
Hebrews 10:6-10, for God is not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and that you do minister. The Lord tells us to serve one another, to love one another, to do good to one another. My husband calls it the ministry of one anothering. Did you know there's an anointing in one anothering? Did you know that there's more in one anothering? Do you know that much will happen in your life? Much God stuff will happen in your life as we tap into, as we walk in this anointing of loving and serving one another? Jesus had that anointing. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost. Remember?
Yeah.
Who went about what?
Doing good.
Jesus had the anointing of one another and doing good to people. We're supposed to be doing good. And not just doing good to your natural family.
Right.
You know, Jesus said when they were talking about his natural family, they ought to have something special. He said, that's not it. He said, these that are here with me in the house of God, these that are loving God, this is my mother and my brother and my sister and my family. Now, I'm not saying we don't do good to our family. We do. We have a responsibility to take care of them. But never above the household of God.
That's right.
Never above the house. They don't get preferential treatment. They don't get to take you out of things that you know where you need to be and doing what you need to be doing because they're natural family. Galatians chapter 10, chapter 6, verse 10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. Oh, we're going to do good to one another. Hallelujah. Come on, we got to get this straight. Maybe we need to have a little attitude adjustment here. Maybe we've not seen everything properly about the household of God or the house of God. Maybe we have had some hurts. Maybe some people have done us wrong. We kind of let that get down in there, and we kind of sin. We gotta pluck up that. Come on, we gotta pluck up that weed. Don't let it get down in deep into you and become a root of bitterness and cause all things to spring up and defile your life with God. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Again, I know, there's been lots of place for opportunity, for discouragements, disappointments, people that haven't done things right. Let me just say it publicly. I apologize for everything I've not done right. I know there's a lot of it. I have to put it under the blood. If I was constantly considering everything I'm doing wrong, it would take me down. I have to throw that off to God and say, God, I thank you that's under the blood, that you forgive me, that they forgive me, that we're still walking it out, that I'm loving them fervently, they're loving me fervently, we're doing this together. You're loving your brothers and your sisters, you're loving your team leaders, you love everybody in the house of God. So right now, we're just checking our heart right now, we're just checking our heart and making some adjustment. That we love the household of God, we love the house, there's gonna be more for us, there's gonna be more for us right here if we can get this straight. We're just making some attitude adjustments. We're letting go of every thought, everything we wondered. Maybe this could be done better. Maybe I don't like this. No. We're letting all that go. We just love. We're just so thankful for the house of the Lord. We're just glad to be in the family of God. We're glad to be in the household of God. Hallelujah. Come on, we're letting every bitter thing go. We're letting every evil word spoken about us, to us, against us, we're letting it go right now. Come on, we're just letting it go. We're seeing the honor. We're seeing the value of this household. It's everything to God. It's everything. His eye is upon the household. His affection is on the household. His attention is toward the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, we're getting rid of anything that doesn't belong in the house. Come on, right now. Right now. If there's any depression, come on, we're casting it off right now. In the name of, listen, you don't have to have hands laid upon you. We can do this together. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When the Lord began to deal with me about this message, I guess it was on Friday, it was Friday. Friday morning, I saw something in my spirit that the Lord wanted us to do. You know, sometimes we have to put action to what we believe, and sometimes just doing something in the natural. You know, there have been times when the thing will say, stand on your word. I've just thrown my Bible down on the floor. Yeah. Just gonna stand, just doing that helps me. There's just something about that act of putting something. You know, have you ever been in that? I'm just going to pray with my face like a flint, and you just get right in front of the wall and you just see nothing but the wall. I'm just going to pray right here where I can see nothing else. Hallelujah. This morning I want Reverend Melissa, could you come up here with me? I want everybody to come up front, and I want us to gather together. Okay? Everybody come up front, and I want us to gather together.
Thank you.
I want us to get real close together, real close together. Come on, this is the time where we're gonna love one another. Just make yourself real deep. Just gather together as close as you can. Come on, this is what it's like for God. I want y'all to come. This is fill in. Come over here. Get real close. God said he was fitting us together. It's good to be together. Sometimes even the sanctuary, I look and it's like people are spread out. Let's get together. But I want you to, I want everybody to take hands. Take hands. I want both of your hands to be filled with someone else's hands. Make sure you've got hands with people. Now, I want you to just look around for a, keep your hands out. Just look, I want you to just look around. Look at those next to you. Look at those in front of you, behind you. This is your family. God's called us together. We got to do this together. We got to run together. We got to stay together. We can't do it by ourselves. We're all graced differently. We're all unique, yet we're all put together as one. We need each other. This is not the days to let anything, to let busyness, to let discouragement, to let government policies, anything, to pull you outside the house. This is it. We're going to have to take a stand for the household of the Lord. The world is actually depending upon us. The Lord Himself is depending upon us being together and staying together. We have to value each other. When we look at each other, we don't look at their physical qualities. We see Jesus. We see God. We see love. We see the potential. We see we're connected. If you're going to mourn, I'm going to mourn with you. And we're going to do everything we can to get ourselves into the next day of joy and rejoicing so that we can rejoice together. We're going to lift each other up. Now, right now, as we're together, I just want you to close your eyes. And I just want you to make sure with the Lord right now that your heart is completely clean toward the house of God, the household of God, every member. Whether they're nominal, whether they might not even be living much for the Lord, whether they're fully in, whether they're a leader, whether they're a brand new believer, no matter who they are, just make sure your heart is clean and upright right now. And ask the Lord, just ask the Lord right now. Reverend Melissa talked last night about restoring your heart. I believe right now there's a restoration. There's a restoration right now in your heart toward the house of God. Some of you haven't even been mad at the house, but you've just been feeling like, I've just been doing it so long. No. Right now, there's a restoration being made in your heart of the value of being an active member in the house of the Lord. Father, I thank you for the anointing right now to restore hearts and restore lives. Restore them to their rightful position. Restore the graces, Lord, that you've intended. Give, Lord, grant right now the gifts and the things that you've purposed for them. Things that might have been pulled back or withheld because of past decisions we've made or wrong attitudes that we've had. Right now, those things, they're coming alive right now in your heart. This is not by your might, not by your power. This is by the Holy Spirit right now, by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, as you're holding hands together, I just want everybody together, we're going to lift our hands. We're going to lift our hands together as a sign that we are surrendered. We are surrendered to God together. We are surrendered as the household. We are in, we are in, we are staying in. We're going to dwell, we're going to remain. Nothing gets to pull us out. We plead the blood. We plead the blood. We plead the blood of Jesus.